American Eagle may fly solo. Red Bull resets the clock for its stratospheric skydive. And Europe considers its own FAA. This is Aero News for Friday, October the 12th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. American Eagle may find itself as a standalone regional airline after AMR Corporation emerges from bankruptcy, and the carrier's CEO says that's just fine with him. Quote, "That would certainly be my hope and my anticipation," end quote, says American Eagle CEO Dan Garten in speaking with the Bloomberg News in a telephone interview. But the final decision won't be known until the bankruptcy proceedings work their way through the courts. AMR Corporation CEO Tom Horton has long said that he would prefer that American emerge as a standalone airline, but there is still the possibility of a merger with Tempe, Arizona-based U.S. Airways Group. Garten would not comment on that scenario, citing a confidentiality agreement. American Eagle has been able to reach labor agreements with its pilots, flight attendants, and baggage handlers. There is a tentative agreement with the airline's mechanics. American, on the other hand, is in a protracted labor dispute with its pilots. AMR's board had decided to separate the regional carrier in 2011 after more than a year of study, but put those plans on the shelf when the company filed for bankruptcy. Separating the feeder airline from the main carrier would allow American to look for lower-cost options for bringing passengers from smaller airports to its hubs. The spinoff would also likely allow the regional carrier to expand as a commuter airline. Sunday, October the 14th, is now the next open weather window that would allow Felix Baumgartner to make his world record-breaking skydive and freefall from the edge of space. The Red Bull Stratus team remains at its staging point in Roswell, New Mexico, hopeful of completing what would be an historic free fall from some 23 miles above the Earth. High winds in the New Mexico desert forced the postponement of Baumgartner's attempt to break both records for skydiving altitude and free fall speed last Tuesday. The launch of the Red Bull Stratus capsule from the desert outside of Roswell was stopped at 11:42 local time, just before Baumgartner's giant 30 million cubic-foot balloon had been fully inflated and made ready for takeoff. The balloon that will take Felix Baumgartner up to 120,000 feet for this record-breaking mission is constructed of nearly transparent polyethylene strips, about the same thickness as a dry cleaner bag, which are then heat-sealed together. Despite the light weight of the polyethylene, Felix's balloon weighs 3,708 pounds simply because there is so much of it, 40 acres, needed to carry the Red Bull Stratus capsule, which weighs nearly 3,000 pounds, aloft. The 55-story high balloon is 10 times larger than Joe Kittinger's was in 1960 and 3 times bigger than the largest balloon ever launched with humans aboard. The balloon's height, when it reaches jump altitude, will be 335 feet with a diameter of 424 feet. The team had 2 identical custom-made balloons on hand for Baumgartner's record-breaking attempt. One was used for the aborted launch last Tuesday and cannot be reused. An identical backup balloon will be used for the next attempt, and the team is investigating the possibility of procuring a third balloon, should it be needed. Felix Baumgartner is trying to undertake a stratospheric balloon flight to more than 120,000 feet before attempting a history-making free-fall jump, where he would become the first man to break the speed of sound in free fall. The European Union has launched a consultation process that could lead to the establishment of a European aviation agency styled after the FAA. The organization would have broad powers over all aspects of aviation, many of which are currently under the auspices of civil aviation authorities of individual countries. AirTrafficManagement.net reports that the formation of the new agency would mean that aviation regulations would be applied consistently across the EU member countries as agreed to at a European level. Those would include functions ranging from determining airworthiness to air traffic management. In the consultation process, the aviation industry is being asked if the new agency should be an outgrowth of EASA or if an entirely new agency should be formed. Some industry insiders have expressed disappointment in EASA and its Single European Sky Initiative. The Government Accountability Office said in a recently released study that the FAA could do more to get to the root cause of the high number of accidents involving GA aircraft, and the recommendations involve gathering more data about pilots and their airplanes. The study acknowledged that the FAA has embarked on several initiatives to meet its goal of reducing the fatal general aviation accident rate by 2018, and that the number of fatal accidents has decreased between 1999 and 2011. The GAO says the FAA administrator should be required to collect and maintain data on each certificated pilot's recurrent training, and the data should be updated at regular intervals. The GAO goes on to say that the agency should collect data on the number of hours that general aviation aircraft fly over a period of time in a way that minimizes the impact on the GA community, such as by collecting the data during registration renewals or at annual maintenance inspections. When Aero News continues, U.S. Airways flight attendants plan a strike vote. TSA's baggage screening shortcomings in Hawaii could be system-wide. And the Air Force considers a new style of drafting.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for October the 12th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Flight attendant leaders for the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, representing U.S. Airways flight attendants, have called for a strike vote to back up their demands for a single contract in the U.S. Airways America West merger. The strike vote will open on October 31st and close on November the 20th. In a message released to members, union leaders said that the AFA leadership met Tuesday, quote, to discuss the next steps to obtain a fair contract for U.S. Airways flight attendants, end quote. The statement went on to say, quote, we remain focused on achieving a contract that works for all of us, and in order to do that, we need to back up our demands by taking action together, end quote. The strike vote has been unanimously endorsed by the leadership of the union, including all local leaders representing U.S. Airways flight attendants and the AFA international officers. The Department of Homeland Security Inspector General has released the results of an investigation of a baggage screening situation at Honolulu International Airport in 2010 that involved 48 TSA employees who failed to properly screen checked baggage. The IG found that the shortcomings in the agency's procedures, standards, and oversight that likely contributed to the security failure in Hawaii are in fact system-wide, not isolated to one airport or incident. The IG's investigation focused on baggage screening lapses at Honolulu International Airport during the months of September to December 2010 and resulted in 48 proposed disciplinary actions for TSA employees, including the Federal Security Director, an airport's highest-ranking TSA employee. 26 employees have been removed, 14 others were suspended, 2 retired, 1 resigned, and 1 was cleared. 4 employees, including the FSD and 3 other management-level employees, are appealing their removals. The IG report also highlights that although the investigation at Honolulu Airport was limited to the final months of 2010, breaches of baggage screening procedures may have occurred over a much longer period of time. Without ensuring that baggage is screened as appropriate, TSA risked the safety of the traveling public by allowing unscreened baggage on passenger aircraft. Migrating birds, NASCAR drivers, and Tour de France bicyclists get it. And now the Air Force is thinking about flying gas-guzzling cargo aircraft in formation, drafting off each other on long-haul flights across the oceans. Flight test with C-17s Vortex surfing at Edwards Air Force Base, California, September the 6th and October 2nd, have demonstrated potentially large savings of fuel and money by doing what geese do naturally. Tests show that flying in formation might be smarter than flying alone for airmen and not just for the birds. As one effort in the Air Force drive to reduce its overall fuel consumption, Vortex surfing may be the wave of the future. Quote, the concept, formerly known as Surfing Aircraft Vortices for Energy, or SAVE, involves two or more aircraft flying together for a reduced drag effect, end quote. A series of test flights involving two aircraft at a time allowed the trailing aircraft to surf, or draft the vortex of the lead aircraft, positioning itself in the updraft to get additional lift without burning additional fuel. Early indications from the test promise a reduction of fuel consumption by up to 10% for the duration of a flight. Over long distances, and even with a small fraction of Air Mobility Command's average of more than 80,000 flights per year, experts say the fuel and cost savings could reach into the millions of dollars. Well, let's just hope the Air Force doesn't decide to experiment with bump drafting. We've all seen what can happen with that at Daytona and Talladega. Reporting from Albuquerque, New Mexico, I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.